U.S. Supreme Court released a decision that surprised many today, ruling 6-3 to expand civil rights protections for gay and transgender Americans at the workplace. Two of the court's conservatives sided with liberal justices, finding that current federal law protects LGBTQ citizens from employment discrimination. Kimmy King is a Supreme Court expert and professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Did you see this ruling today as a surprise?
Yeah, I think most people, when they were looking at the calculations, figured that at best it would be 5-4. I don't think anyone expected 6-3, and probably not Gorsuch to be writing the opinion. So that was another surprise.
Now, I want to quote from the majority opinion here, as you mentioned, written by Justice Gorsuch, quoting, "An employer who fires an individual for being homosexual or transgender fires that person for traits or actions it would not have questioned in members of a different sex. Sex plays a necessary and undisguisable role in the decision, exactly what Title VII forbids." End quote. Well, let's go back now to that original law he was referring to in, I think, 1964. Can you talk about that law and why it was at the center of this case?
Yeah, so the question is, to what extent does the anti-discrimination provisions of the original law was in 1964? It's been amended over time. So to what extent does sex then include gender identity and sexual orientation? And so that's what Justice Gorsuch is getting at there, to say that the language of the original law was broad enough to include LGBTQ persons.
And that's one of the questions in the arguments and in the dissent that really played a central role here. Do we read the text and say, well, when we read the text now, sex includes, as Justice Gorsuch said, being gay or transgender? Or do we need to read the intent of the members of Congress at the time, which I think most people agree wasn't to expand these protections to, say, a lesbian or gay or transgender people?
No, and you often see this as a debate in between liberals and conservatives, to what extent you directly interpret the text. And you take more of a literalist view of what was being done with the law. And so what the court has done today is to recognize that as part of that tableau, in terms of how we analyze the law, that you take a broader meaning. And I think that is what most people were surprised by, that it would be Gorsuch, who he tends to be associated more with the liberal camp, or I'm sorry, with the conservative camp. And so by placing the analysis that he does, he has positioned himself to be one of those moderate swing voters. And that's why you see Alito really spending much of his time going after the Gorsuch opinion and really challenging him over what he sees as a violation of these more literalist principles.
Before we dig more into the legal arguments here, let's talk about the outcome. What does this ruling mean? What changes, and in how much of the country?
Wow. So a lot. And like everything else with all of the other Supreme Court opinions, when they enter into this kind of social fray, there will be more lawsuits, in much the same way that we could have anticipated this after the court legalized marriage equality or same-sex marriage back in 2015. And so what this has done is to lay to rest the debate that was out there. There had been circuit splits over the interpretation of Title VII and how it applied. And so what this does is it creates uniformity across the circuits. But there will be more litigation on this issue in terms of how it applies for benefits and severance pay and a whole range of different issues that will undoubtedly be litigated.
Right. I think in all of the cases that led to this decision, they were over people who had been fired from their jobs, either because they'd identified as gay. One had participated in a gay softball league, and one came out as transgender at a work site. All the people in these cases had been fired, but then we might see different things for different types of work situations, it sounds like you're saying?
Yeah, and one of the things that will be interesting to see, in much the same way we saw with marriage equality, in Title VII law, we have this kind of bona fide occupational qualification that allows employers to take exception if for some reason you might want to have females working only with females, right? And so you will see other challenges come forward as exceptions that have been applied under Title VII now will be litigated in the context of gender identity and sexual orientation.
Kimmy King is with us from the University of North Texas, political scientist and Supreme Court watcher there. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision released today saying that employment discrimination against people on the basis of sexual orientation or transgender status is illegal under federal law. Kimmy, getting back to how we interpret why justices made that decision that they did, I think a lot of time in the media and I think in the public eye, we assume that justices who we consider conservative or liberal think about the outcome they want and then build up the legal case that they need to get there. Does this decision with two so-called conservative justices crossing over kind of challenge that point of view?
It certainly does, but it has long been the case that you simply cannot say that it's always ideology that governs Supreme Court decisions. And Justice Scalia was a fierce defender of the Fourth Amendment. He was a conservative, and he also supported the ability to burn the flag, not something that you think of as a conservative ideal. Gorsuch has been interesting, as has been Kavanaugh. We still don't have enough of a record developed on them yet, but they have not always behaved as you would expect them to be in terms of being good conservatives. And this is clearly a case where you see that split. Kavanaugh, interestingly enough, he dissented. He's one of the three that dissented, but he goes out of his way to acknowledge that while he disagrees with the court's decision, he thinks that it's something that should be left to Congress, that Congress should pass a law. It's not the place of the courts to legislate these kinds of decisions. But he does recognize that today should be a day of pride for persons in the gay and lesbian community regarding the outcome and to recognize that it is something that's been a long time coming. So that was also striking that Kavanaugh struck a little bit more of a conciliatory tone, whereas Alito is really angry, and you can hear it in his opinion.
There's been a lot of angry reaction in conservative legal circles, organizations that support nominations of judges, often by Republican presidents. They're thinking that, especially with Justice Gorsuch, they didn't get what they were backing here. Do you think there's going to be a big reaction to this in those circles and how they vet and promote potential judges in the future?
I think they will continue to have these kinds of challenges, absolutely, going forward. The Senate has been pushing as quickly as possible to get through lower court nominees that they see as being conservative and being consistent with President Trump's agenda. You've seen that the president has been successful so that one in five of the nominees on the courts these days have been appointed by Trump. So he's certainly been successful there. But in these high profile cases like Kavanaugh, like Gorsuch, and people will even go back and criticize Roberts. There are a number of conservatives still unhappy with his decision in the Affordable Care Act back in 2012 when he upheld it and voted with liberals. So you are continuing to see criticism against these conservatives.
We're talking to Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas. She's with us to talk about the Supreme Court's ruling today that federal law does protect gay and transgender people from workplace discrimination. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, with your questions. What, if anything, does this ruling mean to you? Are you glad to see these protections extended to LGBTQ people around the country in the workplace? If you're a worker or an employer, call in with your thoughts and questions on what this means at your workplace under federal law. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling today that gay and transgender people are protected against workplace discrimination under federal law. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court? Are you glad to see the court taking this step? Or do you think, as some have argued, this should have been left for Congress to resolve? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kimmy King stays with us from the University of North Texas. We're going to bring another voice into the conversation now. Megan McDonald is Executive Director of FAIR Wisconsin, a group that advocates for civil rights of LGBTQ individuals here in the state. Megan, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Megan, what's your reaction to today's ruling?
Well, I mean, we are thrilled and, to be honest, a little bit surprised, I think, in, you know, the movement for equality. A lot of my colleagues around the country and in Wisconsin were not necessarily expecting this. We were obviously preparing for all possible scenarios. But, yeah, I mean, this is a really big deal. It's a big moment for legal equality. And we still have a lot of work to do. In, you know, many other fronts, but yeah, I mean, we're pretty thrilled with this decision.
And what are some of the next big civil rights priorities that you were just referring to for your organization?
Well, you know, first of all, we in Wisconsin currently the state of the state law is that we do have protections in protections against discrimination in housing, employment, public accommodations, education for people based on sexual orientation, but not gender identity and expression. So there are no state-level protections for, you know, transgender and non-binary folks in there in any of those aspects of life. We do have a handful of local communities that have passed non-discrimination ordinances to help fill that those gaps. But in the state law, that's obviously still missing. And then, you know, this ruling will cover employment, but we don't have federal protections for other areas, including public accommodations, you know, and so forth. So there's still many other forms of discrimination that are still going to happen and still be legal you know, against the LGBTQ community. And then layering on top of that, we have all of the issues around systemic racism and, you know, racial discrimination that happened that are, you know, totally amplified for LGBTQ plus people of color. And then even more so for trans people of color. So and black trans people and black LGBTQ people even more specifically. So, you know, there are this is an amazing step forward, and it's going to do a lot for a lot of people, but we still have, you know, many forms of discrimination to fight at the state and federal level. We still have, you know, many of the effects of that layering of oppression that people are facing, that continues to be a really, you know, sort of critical, point for, you know, FAIR Wisconsin as the state group in Wisconsin and, you know, working with all of our, you know, related colleagues around the country and the state equality groups and with our, you know, national partners and groups like Equality Federation, Human Rights Campaign, you know, and many others.
Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
That's Megan McDonald of FAIR Wisconsin. We'll bring Kimmy King back in from the University of North Texas. Kimmy, looking forward, in responses to this case, you and I have talked about religious liberty-based challenges to same-sex marriage. Do you see potentially employers challenging this ruling now under some kind of religious freedom arguments?
Oh, absolutely. And when I was talking about bona fide occupational qualification, this business of churches hiring only people who are of their denomination has been enshrined for quite some time as being an exception to a workplace accommodation. So you are absolutely going to continue to see more cases. It is inevitably the case that when you have these kind of expansive rulings that come down, then it becomes a whole wide range of different issues. And so I think what Megan's getting at is, you're going to keep moving forward on things like public accommodations and housing discrimination and any wide number of other ways in which LGBTQ persons can be singled out and treated differently.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi. My name is, I'm a white cis male from Madison. I was wondering how this ruling might affect the recent Trump decision to roll back protections that for LGBT folks in getting health care.
Thanks for the call, John. Kimmy, is that one you've been watching?
Yeah, so absolutely it affects all of that. It also raises the specter of what it means in terms of military service, because there have also been rollbacks there and persons having been dismissed as well for being transgendered. I would caution people that when you're dealing with the military, that can be a little bit different. There's a whole different set of ways in which we look at military service. But without a doubt, it will be another one of the arguments that are added to the list that you cannot treat people dissimilarly.
Thanks a lot for that call, John. I want to take a few minutes to look at other stuff expected from the U.S. Supreme Court and some of the things they're not talking about. First of all, the DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Decision expected soon. They thought it might have come out today. What is at stake there, Kimmy?
So at stake are at least almost 650,000 people that are still protected by DACA. I think it's also important to point out that depending on how sweeping or how far the court goes with it, that if it does make a determination that it is effectively ended immediately, we have approximately 200,000 people who are DACA recipients that are currently working right now, that are contributing, you know, billions in taxes. But most importantly, they're kind of frontliners in COVID-19 because they're working in restaurant services or in delivery or in healthcare. And so that one is one that everybody will be watching to see how far the court goes, or whether or not they do what they've done in some cases, which is to kind of take that middle road. What you've seen Gorsuch, and you've seen it again with the Roberts Gorsuch decision, do here is that they have crafted an opinion that marks a path forward. And so everyone will be watching what happens with DACA and whether or not they find some middle ground to make it not as sweeping as perhaps the Trump administration would like to see.
Now, in both of these cases, DACA and then the ruling today on employment discrimination at the workplace, Congress could have made these cases redundant, right? If they acted and clarified that 1964 civil rights law or come to some kind of resolution on DACA, this is ending up at the Supreme Court in some cases because Congress isn't dealing with it. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and we can say that about the most controversial issues of our time, whether it's civil rights or abortion or, you know, whatever it may be, that the courts get drawn in to these conflicts because Congress hasn't found a middle ground. And that's why some people think that what the court might do is at least give President Trump some leverage to try to force some of the compromises in immigration reform before the November election. But it's just not clear that any of that is really going to happen, given where we are.
And one more big thing from the U.S. Supreme Court, the court declined to take some gun rights cases that would have expanded protections for gun owners, as I understand it. What can you tell us about that, Kimmy?
Well, this has been a consistent dodging on the part of the court, and this clearly seems to be a mark of the Roberts Court that they're not going to go diving into anything unless they're ready to take on a battle. They have turned down 10 different gun cases that were in various stages around the country. So they're clearly continuing to avoid that. But then they were willing to step into this case, which had three lower court cases that had different rulings. And so now they've made it uniform.
In our last few moments, moments, I should say, Kimmy, what else are you watching for from the court?
oh, you know, the DACA is going to be the big one that comes down, but you still have a religious discrimination case that is still out there. And you have, I think most interestingly, the court has to see about which cases they're going to hold over for next year, which will be well past the election cycle. And so that in some ways will be the most interesting thing. Those will be the most interesting to watch.
Kimmy, as always, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You betcha. Love that public radio.
We've been talking to Kimmy King, Supreme Court watcher and professor of political science at the University of North Texas. She joined us today for a look at the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling today banning workplace discrimination against gay and transgender Americans under federal law. You can follow reporting on this at WPR.org. Our partners at NPR are covering that as we speak.